Sorry. Just typing up what's wrong with the app in Slack.
Well, I can't use that as the cold open. Tap and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Step Matt Step.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. We love you very much. Or for watching this for free on Friday, in which case, we only kind of love you. Not as much as the people who subscribe.
No, we love the people who subscribe a lot more. If you're a freeloader, you're basically our side piece.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, you're basically our side piece.
It's like how, you know, like people say, like when you have multiple kids, like you don't choose favorites. We will choose favorites.
Yes,
the people who subscribe are our favorites.
Yes.
And everyone else is just fighting for the scraps.
So if you're a subscriber, HMU, hit me up in the DMs.
I'm already uncomfortable. This is your week two preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas football subscriber. Coming up here in just a little bit, a week one recap will go all 750 games and judge them. Give them a grade, 0 through 100.
Do you see what Splendora did to Cleveland?
I can't believe.
70 to 10.
Is that right?
Yeah, 70 to 10, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was kind of our default, like, random game.
That really was.
Cleveland, yeah.
We need to pick one default random game and then just like track it throughout the course of the week. Okay, shout out Splendora. Week one recap and then our week two game draft as Texas high school football is here. It is back. You and I actually, we'll get into the recap in a moment, but like you and I went on our little mandate. We went to Hamilton.
We had a great time. We had a great trip.
We did have a great trip. It ended up, winters and frost ended up being... Like one of the games of the week?
It was a pretty strong game.
Yeah. I mean, how many? There were 750 games, right? How many games ended with a would-be game-winning field goal attempt as time expired? Like five, maybe?
Yeah, probably, yeah. And then the circumstances around it were crazy. It was like you said on Texas Football today. Frost and Winters aren't winning a state championship. Like, correct. I'm going to go out on a limb and say we're not going to see either one of them at AT&T Stadium. But that was a very competitive, fun football game in a neutral site. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal. They had a trophy. You got to present a trophy, even though they said Matt Stepp. It was Craig Tepper's over here held the trophy like, really, guys? And the PA guy's like, Matt Stepp's presenting the trophy. And Tepper's like, hey, I'm actually the managing editor. You know, I'm the one on TV. We had storms.
And I will also say we did have storms. And those final 5 minutes of that game, a legit atmosphere, like a legit
good,
like,
crowd.
There's some electricity there.
Yeah, it was a fun
cooking field.
Yeah,
and right. You told me in confidence that I'll now bring to the air. You told me, because I asked you, hey, is this a Matt Stepp trifecta?
Yes,
it was two new teams that you've never seen before and a stadium you've never
seen. I prefer to call that a Matt Stepp menage a trois.
A Matt Stepp menage a trois.
Yeah.
This episode.
We're working blue.
I'm canceling this episode. But you told me, in fact, it was a Matt Stepp quad.
Yes, the rare quad, which is two new teams, a new stadium, and a new county.
A new county.
So christened Hamilton County.
Check.
Yep. Kuchen Field, check. Winters and Frost, check, check.
And I got a photo with both mascots.
You got a photo of Snowflake.
Snowflake, the Frost polar bear.
Yes. Pickle loved Snowflake. She thought Snowflake was so cute.
I like Snowflake a lot. And I don't think the Blizzard had a name.
We need to, so Winters ISD, if you want to commission someone to name your Blizzard mascot, Greg Tepper, reach out to greg.tepper@texasfootball.com. He will name your mascot.
Call me.
Yes.
You can HMU for that.
Yeah.
This is your week two preview.
Oh, and by the way, hey, one more thing about Hamilton. You got to experience the greatness of the small town newspaper. Hamilton has a great small town newspaper.
Great paper. It's sitting on my desk over there. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was a great small town newspaper.
Good. Anyway.
Had a full write-up on the scrimmage, a full page on the scrimmage.
Spectacular. By the way, we should introduce VNA Moreno. VNA Moreno is our producer today. Hi, VNA. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your courage.
Thanks for working on Labor Day.
Are
you going to take Crudo Monday off, VNA?
Duh.
Okay, there you go.
We will get to our week one recap and our week two draft. But first, Matthew, we will start, as we always do, with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week, presented by Community Coffee.
so refreshing.
Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at communitycoffee.com. I am not going to drink out of this because there is not coffee. There are instead... There are batteries.
Secrets of the podcast from, right there.
From the wireless microphones. But it's very useful here. I actually have coffee in here.
I bet later coffee. In the season, though, when it's cold and the weather gets cold, I bet there will be plenty of community coffee.
I think we will probably get... we'll make sure that we get our...
Now, I know you told us how you take your coffee. Uh-huh. Does Tep wife drink coffee?
She drinks black coffee as well.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Two heathens, man.
Now we're terrible.
Yeah.
Matt Stepp, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. It's a simple one. Matt Stepp, who's the highest scoring team in 11-man Texas high school football? Who scored them? Basically, who scored the most points in week one?
Yeah.
I literally don't know if you came across this box score.
Van Alstine.
That's a good guess. Van Alstine did score 72 points. That's good enough for fifth.
Okay.
In fourth place, Rio Hondo scored 74 or 73.
Okay.
Hawkins scored 74. I think they've got their quarterback.
Yes, their quarterback.
Mr. Texas Football.
Yeah.
In second place, Palestine Westwood scored a paltry 77 points.
That's right. Yeah, and they scored 77 points in like 40 snaps.
But Matt Stepp, the highest scoring team in Texas high school football right now, I introduce you to our offensive kings, the Dillion Bearcats, who beat Dublin 79-43 on opening weekend.
Hey, remember we talked about this in the 2A preview? I said Dillion's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at their non-district schedule and I was like, their coach thinks they're going to be really good because mm-hmm. they are playing a loaded team basically after this week, every other week. And Dublin's a 3A team. Mm-hmm. So
they just hung almost an 80 burger on them.
Yeah.
So anyway, your highest scoring team.
Dillion, okay, not Dublin.
Yeah.
But Dublin scored 43 in a loss. That's got to suck.
They scored 43 and lost by 36.
Yeah. Boy, tough scene for the DC this week.
Anyway, there it is, your Texas high school football fun. Yeah, their quarterback, Caden Gayton, for Dublin, threw for 406 yards and 5 touchdowns and lost. And
lost by 5 touchdowns.
That's a tough scene. Yeah. Anyway, your Texas high school fun fact of the week. All right, Matthew. It is week 2 now of the Texas high school football season, which means we have 1 week of data, 1 week of games across the state of Texas. And I thought it was a very eventful week of games.
Yeah.
And in some ways surprising. I will give you an opportunity. Give me one team. We're going to break this up into a couple categories.
Okay.
One team from week 1 that you see they're a really good result and you say, that makes me want to buy more into what they've got.
This is going to sound weird because they're so highly rated, but I don't know if I can walk away any more impressed with Columbus.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see my stat I posted yesterday?
Mm-mm.
Our friends at Cover Zero Analytics provided me this stat. Columbus never had a third down in the entire game against Cuero. They never got to third down.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped 44 on Cuero in the first half.
Yeah.
It was shocking. And, Grayson Rigdon was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know he'd be that good. He was great. No question about it. But that whole offense, offensive line.
I thought it's funny because, and I want to be very clear. I don't want to take anything away from Grayson Rigdon because I thought that he was spectacular.
He was great
in that game. He was great in that game. Watching the highlights, what I was watching is like, oh my God, the offensive line is mauling them.
Yeah. They had holes that I could get 6 yards on.
Yeah.
It's not so much.
To be clear, it's a both and. It's not an either or. Like, it's a both and. Yeah, and
there were some large holes, And then Adam Schobel was, there was one throw. It got called back for a penalty. And I was talking about this with Mike Roach from 24/7 at the Lancaster North Crowley game. It looked like it was a 65-yard throw on a dime. Mm-hmm. Like, he threw it in a bucket, and the receiver went up and made a play in tight coverage. Got called back for a penalty, but it was like a shockingly good look. Columbus, whoa. They're in Franklin. It's like, Franklin had a great game. They drubbed China Spring. They handled China mm-hmm. Spring really well. But Columbus stole the spotlight in 381. It was impressive.
Really impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, next category.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to give me a team that looked great in week one that you're not necessarily buying in on any further than you already were. That can be because you already thought very highly of them. You're like, I want to see more data.
That's a good question. I haven't thought about that yet. I'll go with Abilene High.
Okay.
They beat San Angelo Central handily. They put up 60 on San Angelo Central, but they gave up 36. So I'm like, you know, it's not great. Like, you don't want to give up 36, you know, and I haven't seen a box score on the game, but I think it was fairly competitive for most of it. So not ready to buy more in on Abilene just yet. They beat San Angelo by 24, but cautious optimism, I would say.
A team, next category, a team that lost in week one. Maybe they didn't even look great, but a team that lost in week one that you're like, nah, don't worry about it. You don't put much stock into that result.
I'll make an easy one. Carthage.
Yeah.
And they're playing Kilgore, who always gives them trouble, who's so good on defense. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you go back and listen to our 4A preseason show, I had Kilgore to win the state championship before D1. So they lose at home, but they lose by 5 to Kilgore. And Kilgore, you know, they got a 70-yard kickoff return to kind of set up that last score, short field. So Carthage defense played well. So I'm not panicking on Carthage. I think they just lost to a really good team.
Okay.
You know, this happens.
Yeah. I might also lump in South Oak Cliff into that too.
Sure. I mean, 5AD two punching up to 6A yeah. Division one. I know people are like, well, you know, how do you have South Oak Cliff ranked number two in the state still? Well, name me a 5A Division two team that goes to North Shore and hangs with North Shore. There's not one.
I just don't think so.
So, and if you consider South Oak Cliff also traveled 4 hours, and then they had one really bad quarter against North Shore, like 35 points. That was a bad quarter. It kind of snowballed on them, but it was 0-0 after one quarter, and it was 35-0 at halftime, and then it ended 38-0. Mm-hmm. Like, and North Shore didn't pull their starters until midway through the fourth quarter. Like, their starters were in the game, and South Oak Cliff shut them out. So, yeah, maybe North Shore went vanilla, all that stuff. But if I'm South Oak Cliff, I'm feeling like, okay, for three quarters, we went toe-to-toe with North Shore. We just had one bad quarter. So, you know, I don't take too much stock in that. And plus, South Oak Cliff does this every year. They play up. They punch above their weight. They get beat handily. And then the next thing you know, they're in the state semifinal, state championship game.
All right, last category. Mm-hmm. A team that struggled or lost in week one that you are rethinking, that you are putting stock into that result.
Shadow Creek. I was big on Shadow Creek preseason, and they looked bad. Mm-hmm. No running game still. Defense struggled. Turnovers. I mean, Summer Creek punted them into the sun. 42-0 on Texan Live. It was not competitive. So I'm very that one was like, okay, maybe I bought into the hype on Shadow Creek and all the great skill talent. And again, you got to have guys in the skill talent's great, but you got to have guys in the trenches who can play big boy football, and you got to be able to run the football. And right now, Shadow Creek, at least through week one, that was it couldn't get it done.
I'm a little worried about Albany.
Sure.
A little worried about Albany. It's been a minute since you saw. I mean, Stanford's really good, and that's one of those teams that I am buying in on the good result. Mm-hmm. But on the other side for Albany, 50-6 is not a Denny Faith result, quite frankly. And then I brought this up on TFT, but China Spring? I mean, Franklin's really good. Franklin's loaded, but I don't know. I'm a little worried about China Spring coming off of their week one loss. It was a fun. And then, of course, I think it goes without saying, Alito's just going to. They're going to fold the program. Like, I think that's
yeah.
I think
Alito that's the is end. Dropping football.
I think they're dropping
breaking.
Football.
Alito's dropping football.
No, we're joking. They're going to be. Spoiler alert. I'm fairly certain that Alito is going to be just fine.
I think Alito will field a team this week against Lancaster.
I think you're probably right. Yeah. We'll see. I guess we'll find out. Anyway, there's a quick week one jaunt through the week that was. It's time for our week two draft. If this is your first episode of Tep and Step, welcome. Here's how it works. Steph and I are going to go back and forth selecting games we are most interested in. That's the phrase that pays. Mm-hmm. Most interested in.
So you're telling me if I'm most interested in Poteet versus Carn City.
Is that going to be the one? That's going to be our...
That's our default. Yeah.
That's our default.
I can talk Poteet, Carn City if I want, right?
Yes, you can. Okay. Yeah, you can talk... hold on. You can talk... Pirates versus Badgers.
Nice. Good job.
Yes. Go.
Swish.
You can. That might be the only Pirates.
No. Poteet's not the Pirates.
Mesquite Poteet's the Pirates. Yep. Poteet is the Aggies.
Yeah.
Aggies. That's definitely the only Aggies versus Badgers game this week.
I think so. Yeah.
I think
yeah.
so. Unless
Poteet, unless, home of the Strawberry Festival.
That's right. I've driven through Poteet. Festival. It's a weird brag. That's what this show is. A bunch of weird brags. We're going to go five rounds back and forth selecting games we're most interested in. Mm-hmm. We had a coin toss for the show. I won the coin toss.
Dang it. Means
I get pick 1-1
oh.
in this week's draft.
This is a really good, by the way, this is a,
it's a very good week.
Especially in DFW. It is a freaking loaded.
It's a loaded week in DFW.
Yeah.
Which is why it might be curious that I'm starting in Houston.
Really?
7 o'clock Friday night at Legacy Stadium in Katy as the Atascocita Eagles visit the Katy Tigers in a tasty 6A Houston area clash. Mm-hmm. That if you squint, you could see this being the first of two meetings. If you squint,
things break right, yeah.
Things break right.
Mm-hmm. Number 9 versus number 11 in the mm-hmm. state.
Both are 1-0. And both are, I think, feeling a certain way about their week one result. And this is, to me, this is a real gut check on like what week one means. Because for Katy, they got into a knockdown drag out with a task with Houston, or I'm sorry, with Dickinson in week one.
Yes. I actually watched most of the second half because I'm in the press box. I'm mm-hmm. on this cool, you know, website, TexanLive.com.
TexanLive.com.
Yes. I switched over to that game because Columbus and Coro got out of hand. I was like, I want to watch a competitive game.
Mm-hmm.
Dickinson, Katy. What struck me was Katy offensively was really, really good. Really balanced. They did a great job. Katy's special teams left a lot.
Yes.
One of many teams, but Katy's
special teams. It was a bad special teams week across the state.
Katy's special teams a couple of times gave Dickinson really short fields and gave, you know, that hurt them. They got, you know, I'm confident Gary Joseph and his staff will clean that up, but through week one, it was a lot of miscues on special teams.
Yeah, it was bad on special teams there for Katy. They got into a dogfight. They won. Win your clunkers, right? That's what we say.
Sure.
Win your clunkers, and they won their clunker and came away with a win. Atascocita, not a clunker.
No.
Week one against Houston Lamar. Now, I think Houston Lamar is going to be down. I think they're gonna take a step back this year. Mm-hmm. I think that's now pretty clear now that we have some evidence on them.
Sure, yeah.
They're going to take a step back. But that's to take nothing away from Atascocita, who mollywopped them. 35-7, and it could have been worse.
That backfield with Carde Mack and
Torrey
Blaylock is potent.
Carde Mack, I mean, remember, we had questions. I mean, kind of. We had heard good things about Carde Mack. But, like, we had questions about Atascocita. How do they replace Zion Brown? Yeah. Zion Brown was so good for them.
Yeah.
For 3 years, like a 3-year starter for them?
I believe so, yeah.
And now, here comes Carde Mack. And, like, week one, like, his first touch was, like, an 80-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, and they're moving him all around. I mean, he's playing quarterback, but he's also playing some fullback, some H-back. They're moving him all around, mm-hmm. creating matchups and mismatches with Mack. And remember last year against Katy, that was kind of his coming out party.
Yes.
He was really the guy who was the difference in Atascocita beating Katy last year.
Yeah, he was excellent. And that is what is what is interesting here is you have this quarterback clash, right? You've got Carde Mack on one side, and then you've got Gunnar Nelson. Gunnar Nelson back in the saddle for Katy, and I mean, he's a Katy quarterback. Like, he's just kind of rock solid. He knows how to operate the offense. He runs great play action. He's got a pretty deep ball. Like, he's just kind of very Katy quarterback.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I want to see what happens when Atascocita faces a legit run game. Because I don't think Lamar had much in the way of a running game.
Lamar didn't have much. Yeah. They
much struggled. In the way of anything.
Yeah. They're definitely young and youthful, and they got welcome to varsity football quickly on Thursday night last week.
But Tremaine Hill, the new tip of the spear for Katy, is going to be running the ball. You know what they're going to do. Like, there's no secret about Katy. We were joking. It's funny when we were doing the cover shoot, the Gatefold cover shoot with Jeff Joseph and Gary Joseph. Jeff Joseph said, he's like, yeah, I'm fairly certain I could run the playbook, like, still. Like, because these quarterbacks, it's not that big of a playbook. It's about, like, 12, 15 plays that they know how to run. And so you know what they're going to do. They're going to run the ball straight at you. It's also just, I think, a real gut check on the week one result and, like, what those actually mean. It is a task that got Katy last year. They beat him last
year. I think it was the first time they ever beat Katy.
Yeah. You do not make a living picking against Gary Joseph. I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, rule of thumb, not a great idea. I think Katie, because a lot of this is going to be like, how much does Katie step up defensively? Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm just telling, I ain't worried about the Katie defense. That's the question for me, though, is like, can that Katie defense take a step in week two that we didn't see in week one? I think they do. I like Katie in this one, in a close one. Mm-hmm. But I think it's, again, a good litmus test for both these teams on like where they stack up probably, I mean, quite frankly, behind North Shore for Houston area, sure. 6A mm-hmm. supremacy. So, and maybe behind Summer Creek.
Yeah. How good they looked. Yeah.
Hey, the way they looked. Anyway, sure. That's my first pick. I'm taking Katie and a Tuscaloosa. What's your first pick, Matthew?
I'm going to stay in 6A as well. Mm-hmm. We're going to go Friday night, 7 o'clock, Eagle Stadium in mm-hmm. DeSoto. A top 5 6A matchup as number 1 DeSoto hosts number 5 North Crowley in a battle of 1-0 teams. Pending approval live on TexanLive.com.
Audible gas.
Yes. So if you're at a different game, you want to watch DeSoto North Crowley,
mm-hmm.
holler at your boys and girls on TexanLive.com. This is a game I've been looking forward to because I think this is going to be the test for North Crowley.
Yes.
Has North Crowley grown up? They got punted into the sun last year in the semifinals against Duncanville when they went up against one of the big, big dogs in 6A. Mm-hmm. This is a chance now to show that they've closed that gap and they're ready to legitimately challenge for a state title because DeSoto, one of the state's longer winning streaks. They've back-to-back state champions. They were undefeated last year. And, yeah, they looked in mid-season form last week against an overmatched team from Georgia and Creekside. They should have been on the field with DeSoto. It was evident early.
It was
42-0 early second quarter.
Yeah, this is really like our, like, respectfully, this is our first look at DeSoto.
Yes. I don't think you can take much from the game against Creekside other than that Creekside didn't belong on the same field as DeSoto. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just a mismatch.
And to be clear, like, that's going to sound like we're crapping on this poor team from Georgia and Texas forever, for sure. But, like, at the same time, it's like there's not a whole lot of teams that can belong, that can hang on the same field as DeSoto.
Correct. You know? Maybe North Crowley is one of them. I got to see North Crowley last week, and I don't know what to take. I walked away from the Ford Center Saturday after we called that game, me, Greg Powers, and James Triley, and I really didn't know what to make of North Crowley. Was Lancaster better than we thought? Did North Crowley not play very well? Was it a little bit of both? Was it week one? Did North Crowley keep it vanilla purposely? Mm-hmm. I just couldn't tell what to take of it. Other than North Crowley had moments against Lancaster, a couple of 90-plus yard touchdown drives, a couple of goal line stands inside the 5-yard line, but they only won by 8, and so I was like, it's interesting because I have Lancaster 5th in DeSoto's mm-hmm. district preseason, and if North Crowley is only beating them by 8, what are they going to do when they play DeSoto, who's one, depending on, your mileage may vary, number 1 or number 2 in the district mm-hmm. behind Duncanville if they're number 2. So I don't know if it was, North Crowley had a lot of penalties last week. They had some poor execution at times. Now, Chris Jimerson bailed him out a few times. Yes. And he's awesome. And I thought the running game, Cornelius Warren, Daniel Bray, at times looked really good. But also, North Crowley couldn't get out of their own way at times. They would just constantly set themselves back with penalties. And a lot of them were self-inflicted. It wasn't like they were getting holding penalties because a guy was, effort plays. It was a lot of procedure penalties, pre-snap stuff that I know drove Ray Gates crazy. Mm-hmm. So I think North Crowley, if you'd asked me about this game a month ago, I would have said North Crowley's got a 40% chance of winning this game. I was that high on North Crowley. I'm not as high on North Crowley now as I was that back then. I just think there's some, unless they just completely just, played possum and just didn't mm-hmm. show us a lot. I don't think there's any, if they put it this way, they play like they did Saturday against DeSoto, they're going to lose by 5 touchdowns. They're going to get blown. They're going to get their doors blown. Because DeSoto looks like they're in midseason form. I mean, Keldon Ryan in his first start at DeSoto looked good. You got Tiger Ryden. You got Daylon Singleton. Boobie Feaster only had 1 catch for 6 yards and they still won by 70.
Mm-hmm.
They got Mice and Johnson Cook now. Their defense is loaded. Like, this is a loaded DeSoto team that looked ready to go right now. They did not look like it was week one. So I think North Crowley is going to have to play a really good game to keep this close. I'm not picking against the champs in that 23-game winning streak. So I'm taking DeSoto. Yeah. But I'm telling you, if you're a recruiting guy, if you're a fan of prospects, you're a prospect hound, that kind of thing, this is probably the game for you, because there's going to be no less than 30 Division I guys between these two teams on the field that game.
This is more than anything, it's a test of North Carolina defense, because DeSoto is going to be the final exam for every defense they play. You know what I mean? Like when they play Duncanville, it's the final exam for the Duncanville defense. Mm-hmm. When they play, you know, Waxahachie, it'll be the final exam for the Waxahachie defense, because they can beat you in so many different ways. And that's not to mention DeSoto's own defense. I think you're right. I want to believe that North Crowley can hang. I think they are better than they showed against Lancaster, but like they better figure it out quick.
Yeah.
Cause like
short week
and they are not going to.
I'll tell you this. I don't think DeSoto is, Claude Mathis is a guy that they get up, they're not going to stop.
No.
Like they are going to. So North Crowley's got to be ready. I think they're going to show up and play much better this game. I don't think DeSoto is going to blow their doors off. I think North Crowley is going to play, a really good game. They've been eyeing this game as kind of their chance to prove to the state that they're ready to challenge for 6A. So I think they're going to play a much better game than they did against Lancaster. But it's hard to pick against champs in DeSoto. They're especially after looking as good as they did last week.
I agree. Okay, it's an excellent pick. My second pick, Matthew. Let's go. 7:00 Friday night at Bulldog Stadium in Tyler. A very interesting 4A matchup of state-ranked squads. Two teams that both made appearances at AT&T Stadium last year. One left with a trophy. They technically both left with trophies. You get a runner-up trophy. But you know what I mean. One left with the trophy you want.
One left with the trophy you want, yeah.
As the Gilmer Buckeyes visit the Chapel Hill Bulldogs in an East Texas clash and a must-see affair of two teams who had very different week ones.
Yes, it's a completely different results.
For Chapel Hill, we'll start with the good.
Sure.
For Chapel Hill,
I talked to Coach Reardon yesterday, actually.
He's in a good mood?
He's telling me how good Gilmer is. He's poor boy me, telling me.
Poor boy. Oh, man, I wonder if we're going to be able to get on the same field as them.
The beard is immaculate, though.
Yeah, it is. Very good. You know, tomorrow's National Beard Day?
I know. Fear the beard.
Fear the beard. He has nothing to complain about, though, about week one. They went to Jasper and took on a Jasper team. We still think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
They've got some pieces to replace. They lost a lot of the star power.
Sure.
But Jasper.
Kendrick Comerty is going to have them.
Jasper's not going to go 2-8.
No. They'll be in the playoffs. They'll be a good team.
They're going to be a good team. And they blitzed them.
Yeah.
I mean, they.
It was an onslaught early.
Hammered them. Demetrius Brisbane and Ricky Stewart. You want to talk about midseason form.
Yeah, that dynamic duo. Brisbane, the Baylor commit, Stewart, the Texas commit. They look like they're ready to kind of, last time we saw Chapel Hill, they were getting shut out by Anna. So they really, I think, wanted to get on the field, get going, and they got going in a hurry.
They did. They looked excellent. They ran wild. It was Chapel Hill, maybe clean some things up defensively, whatever. Overall,
yeah, penalties. Weirdness, they had a lot of penalties. Week one.
So, week one.
And they were also basically, I think, played one series in the third quarter and they were out of there. So they put up all those numbers basically just a little more than a half.
Gilmer. Huh.
Yeah, that was a head scratcher. That result. Longview Pine Tree is not a bad team.
No.
Playoff team in 5A last year, dropping down.
Yeah.
Just reading the article from the Gilmer Mafia, the world famous Gilmer Media Mafia that are known throughout the media world.
They are.
Sounded like a couple of things. Again, special teams hurt Gilmer. Poor special teams plagued them. And then also that Pine Tree just got the ball and just never gave it up. They just held on to the football. A lot of real time consuming drives, a lot of grinded out 4 or 5 yards at a pop, and just didn't give Gilmer a whole lot of opportunities to score the football. I mean Gilmer jumped out 12-0 and you think, okay, here we go. It's going to be.
Yeah, this game's going to be 36-13 and something like that.
And it didn't work. Like I said, credit to Spring Hill. They had a great game plan and just played keep away.
So the offense just that's the thing, is that the offense really scuffled for a team that is high flying and brings back Caden Tennyson, brings back Brendan Webb, brings back all these playmakers.
Tennyson's not playing quarterback.
that's a big part of it too, is that they got McCown as well.
That's a bold move. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tennyson wants to play in secondary. It's where he's going to play in college most likely. But he was a really good high school quarterback.
And here's the thing. I don't think that they forgot how to play football. You know what I mean? Like,
sure,
the state champs didn't forget how to play football. But that was a baffling, baffling result. Now, if you want to spin it positive in Upshur County, the defense, the much maligned defense, looking at myself, the much maligned defense played pretty well. Played well enough to win the game. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
Played well enough to win the game. So what happens now? Now, you remember Chapel Hill put it on Gilmer last year.
They did.
If I remember correctly,
it was one of those 70-40 games, yeah. You know, where Gilmer scored a lot, but just couldn't keep up with Chapel Hill.
It was one of those games where I believe it just really ruined their scoring average. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It was one of the reasons why they went into the title game with kind of an unsightly scoring average.
Sure. Yeah. You give up almost 80.
It's going to hurt.
Throw your numbers off a little bit.
Maybe I am compensating. Okay. Maybe.
Okay.
I don't think Gilmer's going to put together two crappy performances in a row. I think they're going to be sharper.
Sure.
I think they're going to be better. I think that another week of prep is going to get them going. I think if the defense is really here to stay and they've improved defensively, I think they're going to go to Chapel Hill and I think they're going to win.
Wow.
I think they're going to beat Chapel Hill. Okay. I think they're going to go in there. I think it's going to be a close game.
Sure.
And they got to obviously contain the dynamic duo.
Easier said than done.
100%.
Yeah.
I think they're going to go to Chapel Hill and get a win. I think they come back to Upshur County with a win.
Better account for our boy Jonah Reardon out there out wide.
Sure enough.
He got a 42-yard touchdown catch.
Did he really?
He did. Yeah. He scored a touchdown last week. Yeah.
Ah, crap.
Yeah. So you got to count.
He's got to be our player of the week, doesn't he?
Yeah. Got to account for him. So that. I disagree. I think Chapel Hill is going to win. I do agree with you that Gilmer. I think Gilmer's going to put together a much better effort and going to keep this game close. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to lean to Chapel Hill at home. So.
Okay. All right. What's your second pick, Matthew?
Friday night, 7 or 7:30. Don't really know.
Who's to say? Check the app.
Hampshire Finette 1-0 at Hitchcock 0-1. Hampshire Finette's a team that has knocked on the door of the state rankings in 4A Division II. Mm-hmm. Definitely a dynamic offensive team. State champs in 7-on-7. Looked very good this summer. Had high hopes for them. Last week against Little Cypress Mauriceville, a little bit of a head scratcher, 13-7. But it was, you know, reading some notes on it, that was played in a downpour on a grass field, sloppy field. Hampshire Finette finds a way to win.
Yep.
Chris Augustine gets behind the defense late, scores a touchdown. That's the difference, 13-7 for Hampshire Finette. One underrated part about Hampshire Finette is their defensive line. They have a very good defensive line and a very good front seven. They do a good job. And they showed out again, holding Little Cypress Mauriceville to 7 points. That's the underrated part of Hampshire Finette's team, is they're really good in the defensive line, particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Hitchcock played Legacy School of Sports Sciences, which is kind of an independent school in the Houston area. You know,
Coached by
Michael Bishop.
Michael Bishop.
Yes. And great game, 37-36. They also missed a field goal as time expired to win the game.
Oh, that was one of them too.
Yeah. And so they came up a little bit short. Lloyd Jones, 2 scores rushing, 2 scores passing. Kelshawn Johnson had a long kickoff return for a touchdown. So Hitchcock's playmakers made plays, did some good things. Just came up a little bit short against a good kind of independent charter / private school, whatever they are. So I don't really worry too much about Hitchcock in that game. I mean, Legacy School of Sports Science last year beat Jasper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're a good team.
Yeah, they're a good team.
They're playing Port Arthur this week. They're probably biting off a little more than they could chew against Port Arthur. But, you know, against 3A and 4A's, they're very good.
Yeah, and that's a team that Houston, they're in spring, I think it is.
Yeah.
And they always bow up to, like, big programs. Like, they play these games. And,
yeah.
And they are a, if I remember correctly, they're kind of a charter school that is trying to produce talent and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like, that is part of their kind of mission, I believe.
So the thing is, you know, these two know each other well. Hampshire Finette Hitchcock, like I said, we're nerds. We follow 7-on-7. They have played a ton in 7-on-7. They know each other well.
Mm-hmm.
They've had some battles, gotten chippy at times. Like, they're two of the teams. I mean, Hitchcock won state in 7-on-7, 21 and 22 and 23.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, you know, teams that are know each other well, have faced each other often in 7-on-7. So they know each other well. I think the difference is it's not 7-on-7. It's real football. Hampshire and Fayette's better in the trenches on both sides of the ball. That's the difference. I think the Longhorns, the bigger school, goes on the road, knocks off Hitchcock in a close one. Mm-hmm. But I think Hampshire Fayette up front just a little bit better, and surprisingly Hitchcock. I think Hitchcock's going to be 0-2.
Don't disagree with you. I think that Hampshire Fayette's advantage is up front, and I think that that's where they're going to have a pretty sizable advantage, and they'll be able to lean on it, especially like to me. One of the things whenever you're doing these cross classification matchups is like, who's better in the trenches, even just pound for pound. Mm-hmm. And if the bigger team is also better in the trenches, then it's like, all right, they're just going to lean on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's, I think, what you might end up seeing here. So a good pick with Hampshire, Fayette, and Hitchcock. My third pick, Matthew. Let's go Friday night in Anna as the 0-1 Anna Coyotes. Hmm. Welcome in the 1-0 Gunner Tigers in one of the most bizarre games of the week.
Yeah, which also, by the way, live on Texan
Dave,
Live.
Live on Dave Campbell's Texan Live.
Mm-hmm. Gotta throw that in.
A bizarre matchup in a lot of ways.
Yes.
But the biggest way that it's a bizarre matchup, Matt Stepp, this is a 3A Division II Gunner against a 5A Division II Anna.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay? This is comparable, I would say. Yeah. I mean, there are some differences. But the way we were talking about South Oak Cliff and North Shore, from a size disparity perspective, similar. Okay?
Yeah. Because Gunner's enrollment's what? 360?
This is knowable. Let's see if I can find it.
I think it's like 362-ish.
Gunner turned in an enrollment of... Who could say?
How could anyone even know that?
363.
I was close. It was one off. What an Anna's 15, over 1,500.
They got to be, right?
Over four, maybe the high 14s.
Let's see. Anna turned in an enrollment of 1,490.
High 14s. Okay. So that's basically...
It's at least four times.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Getting closer to five times the size. Yeah. This is a huge disparity.
Yeah.
And yet, the game is scheduled. Mm-hmm. And yet, I don't think we're talking about Gunner as some sort of like prohibitive underdog in this game.
No, I think they are an underdog, but I agree with you. I don't think they're a prohibitive underdog. I think they are going to be, especially with Anna's youth on the defensive side of the ball, stopping the run, especially because last week against Oakland, Tennessee. Now, granted, Oakland, Tennessee has two Division I caliber running backs.
Yeah.
And they both had well over 100 yards against Anna. So, but Gunner's going to run the football.
You think?
Somehow
I have a feeling
they're going to line right up and they're going to run the football.
Yeah. They had an odd week one game too. Took on Houston Kincaid. Long travel for Kincaid to get up there. And Kincaid led that game, I want to say, in the second half before Gunner pulled away and came up with scores and stops.
23-14.
It's so hard to get a read on this game because, for one thing, like it's for Gunner, it's hard to get a read on what Kincaid is. Like, they were a top five private school team, but what does that measure up to? You know, I believe they're SPC, which is, to me, in my opinion, not as good as Taps overall. Sure. Then you've got Anna, who played a team from out of state, so we certainly have no frame of reference on, right, of like how good they are. In a lot of ways, this is the first real data point for like reliable data point for either team. Now, here's my question. This will be the best quarterback that Gunner has faced since it's been a minute. Like, Ziondre Williams is the real deal. And as much as you want to talk about maybe Cameron Cavalier, a Canadian, or I'm trying to think of other quarterbacks they've played.
It's been a while since they've played. Canadian quarterbacks are probably the best quarterbacks straight up that Gunners.
But I think Ziondre Williams would have been the best Canadian quarterback. I'll say that.
Ziondre Williams is a stud.
He's a stud. Yeah. He's the real deal. And so we will have, that is a huge test for them, is to find out exactly what that defense does. This is a bizarro game. It is another game where I'm not sure I put a ton of stock into it. It's also the first game in probably 3 years that Gunnar comes in, more than 3 years, that they come in as, like, in my opinion, a clear underdog.
Yes.
Because, like, if you want to go into that game, I mean, that game against Franklin, the title game against Franklin, they were, maybe they were an underdog, but
it was not a,
it was I mean, within,
close to 50,
within 3 points.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Toss-up type game. It is a bizarre game, and I'm excited for it. I think Anna probably has too much depth, and I think at home, that's probably the safe choice.
Sure, I agree.
But it wouldn't surprise me at all if Gunnar won this game.
No, Gunnar's at that level where it wouldn't shock. I mean, would it be a surprise? Yes, but I wouldn't be like, oh my God, Gunnar beat Anna. No,
right.
I think I'd be like, wow, Gunnar beat Anna.
Because I also think, nice, I think there's a chance, knowing what we know now about Anna, I think there's a chance Anna's down. Like
defensively, they're struggling. Yeah, they're young and they've got work to do. Offensively, and it's the same thing Seth Parr told me every time I talked to him, you know, in the offseason. He's like, our offense, we're ready to make the leap to 5A. Mm-hmm. Our offense is at a 5A league. Because defense, we lost a ton. We got a lot of new faces, a lot of young guys, and they're going to need time to grow up. And we saw it. They gave up 500 plus yards last week. Lost 50. You score 48 points, you should win. Mm-hmm. They scored 48 points, but lost because they couldn't stop the run. And then they had 3 turnovers.
This will be a real heat check on Preston Tarpley, the new quarterback for Gunnar, and where he is as far as the operating the offense is concerned.
I think if I'm Gunnar, I'm trying to ground and pound and keep that football away from that Anna offense. Mm-hmm. Just shorten the game, limit possessions, and see if you can pull it out in the fourth quarter.
Yep. All right. What is your third pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock. Saturday night at Comalander Stadium in San Antonio, as the 1-0 Cibolo Steel Knights visit Comalander Stadium to take on the 1-0 Reagan Rattlers.
This is a real Saturday night treat.
Yes, a little Saturday night Alamo City action. There might be someone from the staff there. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. Both of them state ranked now.
V&A's
Reagan,
going.
Yes, V&A is headed to San Antonio. Both teams are in the state rankings. Mm-hmm. Reagan made their debut in the rankings after a very impressive performance on Saturday night as well, as they beat a good San Antonio Brennan squad 31-9. They jumped down 24-3 in the first quarter. They jumped on them early and just never looked back. Jack Bingham, their quarterback, had 145 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, looked strong. Their running back, Cole Pryor, Air Force commit, was really, really good, had 137 yards and a touchdown. Reagan's defense did a fantastic job bottling up Brennan and some of their athletes and their speedy players. They really did a good job keeping them under wraps, keeping them in front, playing sound defense, and just being in the right spot. So Reagan, you know, this is I talked to Tony Salazar at coaching school. He told me how last year he thought San Antonio Reagan was, outside of North Shore, among the best teams they played all year last year. And so it's not surprising that they're this good, but I think replacing, you know, losing Brad Jackson, who's at Texas State now, you know, had some graduation losses. Reagan came out, looked really sharp week one. So very impressed with them. Cibolo Steel knocks off Liberty Hill 49-26 last week, and really it wasn't that close. It was 49-14 going into the fourth quarter, and Steel pulled all their starters. The skill talent at Steel is second to none.
It's crazy. As good as,
you got Chad Warner, 18-20. 258 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Everyone, open your hymnals to the Book of Warner.
Yes, just as we will sing a hymn out of the Book of Warner, who had a huge night. OU commit Jonathan Hatton, 124 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. SMU commit Jalen Cooper, 3 touchdown receptions. Oklahoma State commit wide receiver Royal Capel, 117 yards receiving a touchdown. They're loaded at skill spots. Now, defensively, a lot of questions at Steel. The front 7 should be better this year, but they don't have any stars. They're kind of just they just have a good unit there, but they don't have that typical Steel middle linebacker that usually flies right there. Just kind of solid. Secondary, Steel graduated 3 SEC players. So they lose all, but they have one corner coming back who's got some Division I looks, but the other 3 guys are graduated now playing college football. So a lot of questions there. Well, Liberty Hill is not going to test your secondary. You know, Liberty Hill threw 3 passes and they were incomplete. So this week, that young steel secondary that's untested, that really all last week, all they had to do was tackle. Now they got to cover in space. They're going to, because Reagan's going to throw the football. They're going to test them. So very interested in this game. I got a feeling we're going to get a shootout in San, we're going to get a Saturday night shootout in the Alamo City. Taco Palenque post game. It's going to be a big night. I think Steel wins just because I think they got too much firepower. They're too dynamic offensively. I think Reagan pushes them. I could see a kind of a 45-35 kind of game for the Steel Knights.
You know the computer likes Reagan?
Really?
By four. Because I saw that popped out at me too. I think the computer really likes Reagan right now. Yeah. And what they're doing. And
especially beating Brennan. The computer liked Brennan.
Exactly.
They beat Brennan by 22.
And so. To do that, I think what really impressed the computer.
And then Steele gives up two late touchdowns. So mm-hmm. That's why this computer, you know, I love our computer partner, Jerry Forrest, and he does a great job. Mm-hmm. Carl Padilla, Padilla Poll, they do a great job. But the computers sometimes don't have the context of what happens in a football game. Mm-hmm. Like that South Oak Cliff North Shore game. You know, they see 38-0, but they don't see it was 3 points in three quarters. And then in the second quarter, you know, just kind of avalanche. They don't see Steele pull their starters and give up two late touchdowns, turn a 35-point game into a 23-point game.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of the context. That's computers are a great resource, especially when you're taking large data sets. But when you're wanting to get down to one game, mm-hmm. sometimes they can miss that kind of nuance that we see in a football game.
So, absolutely.
I'm interested in that. I like Steele. I think Steele's got more talent. I think they're the favorite, but it's very interesting the computer likes Reagan.
7 o'clock, my fourth pick, Matthew. 7 o'clock Friday night at Tigerland Stadium.
Ooh, this is a fascinating
in match. College Station. It's another kind of strange game, but a cross-regional showdown. Mm-hmm. As the 40 Jackrabbits get on a bus and drive to College Station mm-hmm. to take on the A&M Consolidated Tigers in a game we're going to call... Hey, 40, what's going on?
Their game against Lake Highlands last week was one of the more head-scratching mm-hmm. box scores in games of the weekend.
So it's not bad. They won.
They won 34-30.
And I think Lake Highlands is not bad.
No, but they're down. Like, I thought they'd be down this year. Like, mm-hmm. they graduated a lot. So I was really surprised it was that close.
But the other thing about it is that Javion Osborne, the all-everything running back for Forney, mm-hmm. was under 20 yards.
He had 10 carries for 13 yards.
What's going on there?
Huh? Very surprising.
What's going on there? Now,
maybe Lake Highlands just said, you know what? We're not going to let... We're going to put 8-9 guys in the box, and we're going to say, Nelson Peterson, you got to beat us. Well... He kind of did. Nelson Peterson showed that he's ready for 6A football.
356 and 4 touchdowns passing. Offense, he found a way. And, you know, when you're clunkers, they want a clunker. Yeah.
Forney quarterback Nelson Peterson is the half-brother of Adrian Peterson.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
He's the half-brother of former Palestine Wildcat.
I learned something.
Yes.
Today.
He's very good. I mean, he showed he's ready. For, you know, he was at Sunnyvale last year, did a great job. They moved down the road to Forney, and he looks like he's ready for six. I mean, he had a huge game.
So, taking on A&M Consolidated, who I thought looked really nice last week against Lake Belton.
Very solid. Kind of just kept Lake Belton at arm's length most of the night. Never really let him get going.
Yeah, Lake Belton had a couple flashes there. But overall, their offense looked very, very good. Cameron Vines took the opening kickoff return for a touchdown and then had himself a touchdown catch as well. Yeah. They've got playmakers.
Yeah, they got a veteran quarterback, Will Hargett. Mm-hmm. That veteran quarterback. I think he's a four-year starter.
I mean, there's a reason we're bullish on A&M Consolidated. Yeah. There's a reason. And they looked the part in week one. This is, to me, it's too early to have a referendum. But, like, for Forney... Like, everything can be forgiven from week one if you go out there and you beat A&M Consolidated and you look pretty good doing it.
Yeah, on the road.
It's a long road trip against a quality team. You're bigger than. Yes, it's 6A over against a 5A.
D1. But I think A&M Consolidated, you know, I think they're the Region 3 champ. Mm-hmm.
So here's an opportunity to go out there and write that. If you go down there and you struggle... then I start kind of
now
talking
two games, and we're like,
what's going on here? Yeah. It's a fascinating ball game, and for Consol, you want to talk about a game that could be a real feather in your cap?
Sure.
If you go and knock off a 6A team that was a semifinalist last year,
kind of a gold star kind of game
in 5-81, absolutely, that would be a really, really nice win for them. So huge game down there in College Station. I like A&M Consolidated and Forney.
And the road trip thing is interesting. I've thrown this stat out before. Basically, if you travel more than like 200 miles, I think it's 150 miles from home and non-district, you're like, it's like 80% of the time you lose.
Wow.
So that's a very, you know, very interesting stat. It's not official, but it's just looking at research and looking through it. You look at the teams that traveled last week. Other than Lubbock Cooper, most of the teams that hit the road did not fare well. So interesting if Forney can kind of reverse that kind of trend that you see. It's a very Norm Hitchcock stat, but it holds
very
true.
Norm.
I mean, Plano went to Odessa, Permian, and got beat. You know, so there's lots of examples of that. So
that's a good pick. Yeah. Good pick. What's your fourth pick, Matthew?
Well, fake Norm. I'm going to go 7 o'clock Friday night in Bushland.
I almost took this, but I already took a 3A game.
Bushland in the Texas Panhandle. Bushland is west of Amarillo, VNA. Mm-hmm. One of the windiest, wasn't it? We talked one of the Bally reporters that was doing a game there, and I told her it's the windiest stadium I've ever been. Mm-hmm. Bushland is known as one of the windiest cities in Texas.
Yes.
There ain't a lot of trees out there to block the wind.
No. It gets rolling.
Yeah, there's a lot of bushes, which is why it's called Bushland. Mm. Not trees, bushes. They welcome the Canadian Wildcats into town. And if you like points and pointsy type football games, then I think this might be the game for you.
They don't know how to play like low scoring. They don't even know how to play like medium scoring games when they get together.
Let's put the track shoes on. Yeah. Let's get rolling. Canadian last week, when it went into Oklahoma, crossed the Red River, those damn Okies. Mm-hmm. And they knocked off Elk City, Oklahoma. We love our friends from Oklahoma. 32-27.
Speak for yourself.
Elk City is a much larger school than Canadian. Like basically Elk City would be a 4A Division I school in Texas. Mm-hmm. So a much bigger school. Canadian finds a way, but there's Elk City is the Elks. Their school colors are brown and white. Is there a team in Texas that has school colors brown and white? There's not one that I know of. I know Brownsville Hannah is brown and gold.
I guess Sherman's like maroon.
Yeah, Sherman's right? Maroon.
There are a lot of maroon and white. That's a thing.
Josh Aylman, mayor of Sherman.
How about that? Hey, yes. By the way, this is apropos of absolutely nothing. But congratulations to Sherman on winning the battle.
Finally,
and yeah, Josh Aylman. Yeah. Josh Aylman can be mayor for life if he wants to.
Josh Aylman, text me. Are you paying for a meal this week?
No, he's done paying for meals for a year. Are you kidding me? He brought the axe home.
Yeah. Now back to Canadian.
Yes, okay, I'm sorry.
Canadian knocks off Elk. Boy, we get down these rabbit holes sometimes.
I really do.
Beat Elk City 32-27. New QB Clay Kendall looked good. Three touchdown passes. Two went to Julian Dominguez. Julian Dominguez also had a touchdown run on a reverse. So they got another guy, Wyatt Davis, a two-way player. That's a really good player for Canadian. Still a lot of questions in the defense. Probably not as sharp as Coach Andy Cavalier would like to see there in week one, giving up 27 points to Elk City. Bushland, on the other hand, I don't know how much you could take from their week one game against Borger because they destroyed Borger 61-13.
There's a lot better in Borger.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell Bushland's defense and special teams set them up all night with good field position because Bushland scored 61 points and only had 315 yards of offense, which tells me they were starting a lot of drives in Borger territory.
Yes.
The test is going to be tougher this week. They're going to have to come. They're going to have to bring it. Canadians down. I think I'm comfortable saying that Canadians are a little bit down this year. Bushland has a little legitimate hopes and chances of winning the Region 1 title in 3A Division 1. If you're going to win the 3A Division 1 title, Region 1 title, you're beating this version of Canadian.
You are.
At home.
Yes.
You're taking care of business. I think Bushland wins a high-scoring game. I'm going to say 41-35 type football game, but I think Bushland gets it done.
I think it's a lot about the quarterbacks here, which is easy to say about these two teams, but like Bushland replacing Dawson Jaco. They got a kid named, this was in my notes. Their quarterback's name is Quade Ferris.
Yeah.
Quade Ferris. And then for Canadian, Cameron Cavalier is off, and they bring in Clay Kendall. And I think a lot of this game is who is up to game shape earlier. You know what I mean? Because if this is going to be a shootout, and if it's going to go back and forth, you have to go score for score with each other. Mm-hmm. And that's going to come down to which quarterbacks can be the sharpest. So I think it's a fascinating game. I agree with you. I think this game is going to be huge out there in Bushland. It's a big game. All right. My fifth and final pick, Matthew. Let's go. 7 o'clock Friday night at Memorial Stadium in Bay City.
Home of the Black Cats.
Home of the Black Cats as the Bay City Black Cats, the state-ranked Bay City Black Cats,
yes,
take on the state-ranked Edna Cowboys in a game that people who live in cities will not, will never take a second look at it. And Texas high school football sickos are going to look and go, that one, that's a
cool
one.
Game.
That's the one I want. This is a sicko heat check. Mm-hmm. If you're into Bay City and Edna, you're my kind of person. Okay, this game,
we can be friends.
I think this game has an opportunity to really steal the show on Friday night. I'll tell you why. Edna played Vanderbilt Industrial last week, mm-hmm, and survived an overtime thrill. It's against what I think is still a pretty good Vanderbilt Industrial team, and always plays Edna tough, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And they've got their dude in Braylon Harris.
Yeah.
For Edna. He's a dude. He's like, Jaden Clay's not walking through that door, but Braylon Harris is the next big star at Edna, and he's their guy. Bay City was really strong in their opener, and the people we talked to think that this could be the best Bay City team
quite some time.
Like, people invoking the name Chad Morris. You know what I mean? Like, been a long time, mm-hmm, since they were this good. And you look at the talent, and it's easy to see why. Zylan Williams is awesome. They've got playmakers. They've got dudes.
Jada Andrews.
Yes.
Alex Estrada is a 3-year start. He seems like he's been at quarterback since like 2006.
They've got dudes
there forever.
Everywhere. Okay. And that offense at full bloom in week one. They look really, really, mm-hmm, good. Edna is the kind of team that is going to try. They have no interest in finesse. They have no interest in finesse. Mm-hmm. They are interested in socking you in the mouth.
Sure.
And just like playing bully ball on you. Whereas Bay City kind of wants to get out and run a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there's a stylistic clash. These are also two teams that don't care for each other.
They're not far from each other. A lot of the kids know each other. There's, mm-hmm, there's some rivalry there. And I think Edna has that little chip on their shoulder in this game. They're the little brother. Mm-hmm. They're the 3A school playing the big 4A school. Although I think Edna takes a lot of pleasure in being a thorn in Bay City's side.
I think so.
And they've given Bay City some games in the past.
Yes, they have.
I mean, they haven't just rolled over and gotten blown away by Bay City by any means. I mean, they played, you know, last year they beat Bay City 28-21, mm-hmm, you know, so this is not a team that's going to, you know,
be scared. They're not going to play scared.
Yeah.
I like Bay City, especially at home. I think they're the favorite in this game. They're the bigger team. They're at home. A lot to like about
actually beating Bay City 3 years in a row, which is crazy to think.
3A over 4A.
Yeah. 3AD1 over 4AD1.
I think Bay City does it this year. I think they get the win. But keep an eye on this one. This game is awesome. This is a fantastic ball game. I will be paying very close attention to this game on Friday night because I think Bay City can kind of prove like this year is different if they go out there and win this game. And for Edna, they could prove like, yeah, we are a top five team in 3AD1. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I like Bay City and Edna. What is your fifth and final pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock Friday night at the Birdville Fine Arts Athletics Complex, mm-hmm, in North Richland Hills.
Home of UIL realignment.
Yes, home of UIL realignment. A nice Northeast Tarrant County showdown as state-ranked in 5A Division II, Colleyville Heritage, mm-hmm, takes on state-ranked in 5A Division I, the Richland Royals.
Fighting Jake Kemps.
Yes, most famous alumni, Jake and Joe Kemp, mm-hmm, our buddies, buddy Jake from the Dumb Zone. Northeast Tarrant County football right now, pretty good.
It's
more than just South Lake Carroll. You got Coppell right there in the corner, kind of in Northeast Tarrant
Technically
County.
Dallas County.
Is it mm-hmm, school in Dallas County? Mm-hmm. But it's right on the border. You got South Lake Carroll. You got Colleyville Heritage. You got Richland. Trinity and Bell are playing good football right now. So it's good times in Northeast Tarrant County. A lot of good teams. You know, we got the Keller schools a couple of the Keller schools are playing well. So lots of good football in the Northeast corner of Tarrant County. Colleyville last week had to rally, mm-hmm. but got a really nice win over Red Oak last week, 32-29. Wide receiver Braden Blewett, 202 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns. And the key in this game, they trailed by 10 going into the fourth quarter. They forced 3 turnovers in the fourth quarter against Red Oak that kind of flipped that game on its head, mm-hmm. and they were able to pull it out late. So Jerry Edwards in his second year at Colleyville Heritage, they were a regional finalist last year, and I think they have a chance to go even further this year, but they're in a really tough district, and this is going to be kind of their measuring stick going into district play. This is it. Next week, Colleyville Heritage plays district football games. Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy to think about? We have district games next week.
That's right. Golly.
Yeah, 19 districts start district next week, and Colleyville Heritage plays district football next week, but they got to take care of this business against Richland. Richland, really good. They Halton gave them a little bit better game than I thought.
They scared them a little bit.
But this is, again, this is one of those games that the final score probably doesn't reflect the ultimate box score, because it was 38-3 going into the fourth quarter. Halton scores a couple touchdowns late to make it a little more respectable. Michael Turner, the Baylor commit, had another big game, 2 touchdown runs. Quarterback Drew Cates, 246 yards of offense, threw 2 touchdowns. And like I said, Richland's defense, which I had concerns about going into the season, holds Halton to 3 points through 3 quarters. And then you get in the garbage time, you know, backups get in there, a couple touchdowns get allowed late. Rivalry game. For those of you who don't know, Halton and Richland are blood rivals.
Yes,
sir. That is a big rivalry there in mm-hmm. Burnville ISD. Old school. That's a big rivalry. So encouraged that Richland's defense played so well. I think this is a straight up coin flip game.
I agree. Computer's got to pick them.
I think it's a coin flip game. Typically in the coin flip game, I lean to the home team here. But I'm gonna switch it up. Mm. I'm going to go on the road. Colleyville gets the win in a really interesting game. I got my eye on this game. I think it's going to be fun. If I wasn't going to a game that I liked on Friday night a little bit better, from a media standpoint, like just going to the game, I probably would have gone to this game Friday night. So, I like Colleyville on a coin flip. I expect a really close game. If you're in the area and want to just find a good football game, this is your spot Friday night.
It's okay. I like that. All right. So that concludes our week 2 draft. I took Katie Atascasita, Gilmer Chapel Hill, Gunner Anna, Forney A&M Consolidated, and Bay City Edna. Step took it DeSoto, North Crowley, Hampshire Finette Hitchcock, Cibolo Steel Reagan, Bushland and Canadian, and Colleyville Heritage and Richland. No Austin game this week. You could probably go with Lake Travis Rockwall, maybe? It's an interesting, another kind of cross-regional match. Or Vandegrift Cedar Park in Austin.
Yeah, Round Rock and Temple.
Round Rock and Temple is an interesting ball game.
It's in Temple, but it's an Austin team playing in it. So
yeah.
I don't think... Now, Wimberley and LBJ.
Arlington, Sam Houston, Burleson, Centennial. That's the one.
Okay.
Shout out to Sam Houston, Burleson, Centennial. We had Coach James on the show today.
Great Coach Chris James.
Yes. Congratulations to them. And congratulations to Caldwell, by the way.
Yeah.
Sean Witherwax and company breaking their long losing streak. It's time for our hipster game of the week, which is where we select a game that's a little bit off the beaten path, but we are interested in for another reason, one reason or another. I'll go first, if you don't mind. I'll call Isa.
I went first last week, yeah.
Matt Stepp, my hipster game of the week. We're going 7:00 Friday night at Buckley Stadium in Killeen as the Killeen Kangaroos take on the Killeen Ellison Eagles. Now, look, I am not here to tell you that this game, that either one of these teams is going to play for a state championship. Not super bullish on either of these teams to make it to Arlington. Mm-hmm. But Matt Stepp, there is a segment of the Killeen population who will tell you that this is actually the only game that matters. These are the original two Killeen high schools mm-hmm. in Ellison and Killeen. Mm-hmm. And they will tell you that the opening of Shoemaker, the opening of, what am I forgetting?
Harker Heights.
All it's done is water it down. All it's done is we got to get back to old school Killeen football, mm-hmm. which is Ellison and Killeen High. It's the oldest rivalry in Killeen. Ellison is coming off of a tough loss to Coppers Cove in their opener. Their offense looked pretty good. I don't know if you know, their quarterback, Sydney Holland, threw for 356 and 3 touchdowns. They came up short to Coppers Cove. For Killeen, They're also 0-1. They lost to Cedar Park Vista Ridge in their opener as well, 31-21. This is an opportunity to get a win for either one of these teams and get one of these teams going to be 1-1. But more importantly, this is a rivalry game down there in Killeen between the two original high schools, an underrated little rivalry down there at Buckley Stadium Friday night, which is a great place to watch a ball game. I think if you've got a lot worse ways to spend a Friday night than in Buckley Stadium in Killeen. I like Killeen and Killeen Ellison as my hipster game of the week. Okay. What is your hipster game of the week?
Let's go 7 o'clock Friday night at Charles Head Stadium in Alvarado. A very interesting game, as it wasn't on my radar until I saw what Van Alstine did last week in their win. I believe it was 72-0 that Van Alstine won. It's a long road trip. Van Alstine to Alvarado. It ain't easy to get to. That's a long road trip. But they're coming down to Alvarado to take on an Alvarado squad that I saw last week in person and looked very good, beating Godley 48-21. I think this is another game. If you like points, if you want to get pointsy, Van Alstine and Alvarado are probably going to light the scoreboard up in this one. Two 1-0 teams who I think are kind of under the radar in Class 4A and their respective divisions, looking to go to 2-0. I think Alvarado gets it at home. Cardia Collier, Lance Sampson, winner if he got that dog in him.
He does have that dog in him.
Yes. DeMarcus Belton, their running back. A lot of playmakers for Alvarado. Van Alstine caught my attention last week with that performance, winning 72-0. So I'm going to go. I think Alvarado wins it, but I'm really interested to see how, even if Van Alstine keeps it close, I got my eye on him now. So that's my week two hipster game.
Okay. Excellent. Now, Matthew, why don't you tell the folks where you are heading this week?
So Thursday night, I will be at Northwest ISD Stadium as the Byron Nelson Bobcats host the Louisville Fightin' Farmers. Nice Thursday DFW matchup. I think there'll be a lot of media at that game. It's kind of a light Thursday schedule locally this week. So that's probably, to me, that's the best game in the area. So that's where I'll be Thursday night. Friday night, a loaded Friday night slate in the Metroplex. It is if you want to see a good football game in the Metroplex Friday night, you have plenty of options.
So you're going to Irving and South Garland.
Yes. Shout out to the Crooked Eye. You've got, Crowley North Shore, DeSoto North Crowley, Colleyville Heritage Richland, Sauk Duncanville, Cedar Hill Allen. That just a few of the really, really good games in DFW this week. I am going to be in another really good game as the 1-0 Coppell Cowboys visit Lumpkin Stadium in Waxahachie to take on the 1-0 Waxahachie Indians. As I will, I was not a guest on TF Tonight Friday night. I did not make my halftime appearance. I wonder, because Coppell's playing, if maybe I get
that can be changed.
I wonder if I'll be making an appearance this week.
Do you know what the Waxahachie? You know what they say about Cowboy Fight?
What
it never dies.
Oh gosh!
Big win over Saxey last week.
Big win.
Eddie G cooked.
Yeah. Eddie G just
cooking.
Yeah, it's the Baylor commit cooking it up. And then so that's a really good Friday night game.
It is.
And
by the way, to be clear, it's actually a good game. Yes. Like, forget my bit. It's a very good
game. Yeah, it satisfies your bit, but it actually is a really good football game. It's not some of the you approve of that game.
Yes. For non-bit reasons.
Yeah. Saturday, I am headed to San Antonio Saturday, getting my sicko on, as 7 o'clock Saturday night at Comalander Stadium.
Yeah.
Cibolo Steel and San Antonio Reagan, two state-ranked 6A teams matching up. That's I feel like I've got a quality slate this week.
No, I'll tell you that your Thursday night game is the weak link, and your Thursday night game is a very good game.
Yes,
you know
it's a good week. It's a good week.
It's a very good week.
And my week three is even better. Wait a week three.
That's a tease.
Yes.
That's a tease. All right, let's finish up today's episode of
Tap and Step. Professional broadcaster here.
If we get the two shot real quick. Let's finish up this week's episode of Tap and Step by going to our producer and asking the question, Vianney Moreno, what did you write down during the show today?
I wrote down a lot of things.
Give us a couple of things.
I was also drafting my fantasy league.
During the show?
You were not focused on us? See what happens when you let WTF on the show?
I'm telling you, that's what happens.
What happens?
Okay, what'd you write down?
I had some good stuff. At 37 minutes, I had a bizarre matchup.
True. Anna and Gunner.
Yes. And then, I also wrote down Beard Day.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow's National Beard
Not
Day.
Not really needed for that. 49 minutes. Tepper says, I learned something.
I did.
Okay.
It was the thing about Adrian Peterson's half brother.
There you go. There you go. There yeah. You go.
And one of my favorites, at 56 minutes, a sicko heat check.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I like it. Okay. Let's get your opinion on beards. Are you yeah. in or out on beards?
I like them if they're like trimmed. Like okay. I don't like them if they're not. If kept. They're not maintained,
kept. You like a well maintained beard.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And short.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. All
right. Not thank too, you. I'm Fiona. Not big in the beards.
Thanks, Fiona.
Gotcha. Okay. There
thanks,
you go. Fiona. They come back. Y'all come back. It was like no beards.
That's gonna do it for us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football Insider. Thanks to our intrepid producer Vianne Moreno.
Thanks, Vianne.
Thanks for
our hard work
for everything. For our hard work. And Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week on Tep and Step.